Good morning. The title of today's lesson is Moving Forward, Recognizing What Battles to Fight. The scripture reading will be from 2 Chronicles 20:17. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now, Brother Skippy Norman.
Really, once again, God has been good to us. He's spared our lives just one more time to be able to come to worship him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here this morning, and if you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of this service on this morning. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most eternal Heavenly Father, again, thank you for this day and your blessings. Thank you for those who have taken part in our service thus far. And now, Father, as we are about to go into your word, and Lord, we just focus upon your word, and as we're going into your word, those things that would help us to be the people, the Christian that you would have us to be. Lord, help us to always do those things that are right and shun those things that are wrong. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that everything that we do today will be pleasing and accepting in your sight, giving you all the glory, the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning we're going to be looking at, throughout this month, we've been trying to jumpstart us on moving forward, focusing on the Lord. And this morning that we're going to be talking about moving forward, recognizing what battles to fight. Because if we don't recognize the battles that we are fighting this year, then we might be taking our attention off of what God wants us to do. And we'll be taking our attention on focusing on God. So we just hope that this lesson will help us to be able to recognize what battles that we need to fight. In 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 17, as it was read in our hearing, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set your sails, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord. With you, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And then in 1 Samuel 17 and verse 47, 1 Samuel 17 and verse 47. And all of this assembly shall know the Lord, saith not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. There is a vast difference between fighting the Lord's battle and letting the Lord fight his battle through you. Battles, when I talk about battles, battles that are taking your time, taking your energy, keeping you from pursuing what's really important. Your God-given goals, your God-given dreams, and God's work. Many of us we fight the wrong battles. When we get caught up in things that don't matter, as a result, we get upset, hold a grudge, and pay somebody back. And we have to realize that there are some things don't matter. Don't make a big deal out of it. Life is short. James 4:14, he says, what is your life? It's nothing but a vapor that appeared for a little while, and then it'll vanish away. So here's the question. How many battles are you involved in that do not have a big enough reward? How many arguments are you instigating? How much tension are you bringing in the home that could be easily avoided with some minor adjustments? How many issues that is causing tension that we bring into the Lord's house that has nothing to do with doctrine that could easily be avoided with some minor adjustments? I heard somebody say, a bulldog can whip a skunk any day of the week, but sometime he realizes it's not worth the stink. You may be right. You may have all the facts on your side, but is it worth the stink? Is it worth the pressure? Is it worth the tension? Is it going to bring in the home? What are the rewards? I found that it's easy to start a fight, but it's hard to end the fight. It's easy to start an argument, but it's hard to stop an argument. Because sometimes we say things that we shouldn't say. It's hard to let it go. It's better to have never even started it. That's what Proverbs chapter 20 says. And verse 3 says, it's an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Someone said that the wise are more concerned to bring peace than a desire to be right. But the fool cannot restrain himself and at the first opportunity explodes and shows his teeth. So here's the question. Do you want God to honor you? Do you want to enjoy life? Well, you need to be a peacemaker. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 9, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Be that type of person who will avoid an unnecessary fight, a fight that is not going to produce any good rewards. So I want to suggest to you three things this morning. And this lesson is yours. Number one, recognize what battles to fight in the home. Recognize what battles to fight in the home. Your home need to be a place of peace. You and your spouse needs to be in harmony. You are stronger together than you are apart. But not only that, even if you are a single parent, you need to understand your children need to see a good example. They are going to treat their family the same way they see you treating each other. Don't make a big deal out of things that are not a big deal. Somebody says, people will leave a marriage they would leave somebody with 80% of what they need because they found the other 20% in somebody else. Well, I got news for you this morning. What you don't realize is that nobody has it all. And if you leave the 80 to find the 20 that your spouse doesn't have, you'll soon realize that the other person is lacking in 20% of something else. And you still have something to deal with. It's better to recognize that no one person can give me everything that I need. I'm not going to be frustrated making somebody else change something that they can't change or give me something that they don't have. Yes, the grass always looks greener on the other side, but you got to remember this, it still has to be mowed. Understand? And so I need to recognize what battles to fight in the home. But then secondly, you and I need to realize that not everyone will like you. Not everyone will like you. A lot of people in the Bible did not like Jesus. In John 1 and verse 11, the Bible says, they came to his own, and his own received him not. I've known people who spent years and years trying to win the approval of somebody, trying to cater to what they want, playing up to them, sacrificing their own identity, who they are, and their goals, trying to impress a boss, trying to win over one of the critics. But here's the problem. The problem is that that person is never going to give them their approval. If we're going to live in victory, if we're going to move forward this year focusing on the Lord, we have to accept the fact that not everyone is going to like us and not everyone is going to agree with us. I saw an interesting statistic some time ago. It said this: 25% of the people you meet won't like you and never will. 25% won't like you but could be persuaded to like you. 25% won't like you, but would like you, but could be persuaded not to like you. But then there is 25% who like you and stand by you no matter what. What did that mean? When you understand this, life gets a little freer. When we realize that if that person doesn't like me, if they don't want to be my friend, if they don't want to give me the time of day, no big deal. I'm not going to get upset because of the fact that I realize that they are the 25% that would never like me. I could compliment them all the time. I can go over there and hey, I can mow their lawn and do whatever I need to do, but let me tell you, they are still never gonna like you. Let me give you a key. And here is the key. You should not waste your valuable time and energy playing up to them, trying to change their mind, trying to convince them that you are important. That's a distraction. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 through 17, see then that you walk circumspectly, in other words, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be not ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Church, don't waste your time trying to get approval from people who won't give it to you. You don't need the approval to be who God made you to be. And so you need to understand, you don't have to have them to accept you. If you will let God let go of that and not get involved in battles that don't matter, then what God will do is that God will not only send you people that accept and approve you, but he'll send people who will celebrate you. And what I'm talking about people that'll celebrate your talents, people that'll celebrate your personality, people that'll celebrate your accomplishments. You won't have to constantly be trying to prove yourself to folk walking on eggshells, trying to please other folk. You can just relax and be who God has made you to be. That's the kind of people God wants to bring you. God wants to bring people who are for you, people who believe in you, people who celebrate who you are. But here's something important. Quit wasting, and I'm talking about everybody young and old, quit wasting your time trying to win somebody over that is never going to be won over. Quit trying to make somebody love you that they won't love you. Quit trying to persuade them to be your friend when they'll never be your friend. If you have to constantly play up to them, convince them that you are important, convince them to spend time with you, that is a battle that is not worth fighting. When I quit fighting those battles, that's when God began to bring people in my life that will celebrate me. One reason that people I found over these years, that people will never accept us, is because they are so insecure. Let me help you. They'll never give you a compliment. They'll never let you in their group. They are intimidated and they are threatened by you. And the way they express their insecurity is that they'll push you down so that they will look bigger. They'll minimize so that they could equalize. They will diminish who you are and what you have to offer and your accomplishment so that they won't look so small. People like that will never change. That's a battle that's not worth fighting. If you let it go, God will bring people who will add value and not take away. People that will celebrate who you are and be happy when you succeed, and not people who will find fault, not people who will get jealous, not people who will get mad when things don't go their way. And we should not waste our time in battles that are not winnable. Some people, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, are never going to change their minds. Stop fighting. Stop fighting with people who won't change and have you ending up stressed, have you ending up upset, have you ending up raising your blood pressure and stealing your joy, and might cause you to lose your soul, because when it's all said and done, you are done, you are the one who is sick, and you are the one who is upset, and they go on acting the same way. Church, those are battles that are not worth fighting. You got to accept that not everybody is going to like you. Not everybody is going to understand you. Not everybody is going to agree with you, but guess what? That's okay. Just run your race. Be the best you can be, and God will take care of your critics. Well, that leads me to number three. Y'all didn't like them, so let me give you number three. The third thing. Because if you're going to recognize what battles to fight, you're going to have to learn to turn your battles over to the Lord. Turn your battles over to the Lord. When somebody is talking about us, instead of getting upset, trying to defend ourselves, let's believe that God will hear them and bless us for it. Let that settle. What that does is it takes the pressure off us. We don't have to pay people back. We don't have to get involved in battles that don't matter. We know God is our vindicator, and He is going to bless us because of what they are saying. In Romans 12:19, he says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." Quit trying to fight God's battles. He said, "I'll take care of it. Turn it over to me." And if somebody is trying to make you look bad and spreading rumors and telling lies, really they have done you a favor. What do you mean by that? Yes, they have done you a favor. That means they mean harm for you, but God is going to use it to promote you. In Genesis 50:20, I remember Abraham. Not Abraham, but Joseph, you remember. But he said, "But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring the past at his ills this day, to save much people alive." Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Listen to me this morning. If some of you today, if you'll just be a little more focused on the Lord and not bother with battles that don't matter, turn them over to Him, and what you will see is that you will see God bring the Goliaths across your path. You know, David said, in Psalm 23, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But notice what he said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You don't have to worry about God will bring them to your table. You will see God bring the bell that brings about greater opportunities, that brings about greater promotion. When things don't go your way and you are tempted to get upset, you need to ask yourself, number one, is this a battle that's worth fighting? Number two, is this between me and my destiny? Or is it just another distraction to waste my time and my energy? But then number three, if I engage in this conflict, is it going to be worth it? Remember, we don't have to fight battles to prove to people who we are, to win over critics, to play up to someone, to get them to like us. Church, these are all distractions. Just stay focused. Stay focused on the main goals that God has put in your heart. Learn not to make a big deal out of things that are not a big deal. Let it go for the sake of peace. Life is short. Time is valuable to waste on things that doesn't matter. There are battles, and these are battles that are not worth fighting. Ask the Lord to help you to know what is essential and to know what is not essential. There are many times in traffic when it's best to just let that angry driver who's in a hurry just pass on by. Stop trying to fight every little challenge that comes your way. Stop trying to work your own problems and your own way out of your problems in your own strength. You are wasting valuable energy on things that will not matter. Too many people fail to find a way out of their difficulties, out of their problems, because they are prematurely give into discouragement, frustration, and fear. This morning, if you're here, have not obeyed his plan, have not given your life, turn your battles over to him. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Obey him. Follow him. Because the consequences are severe for not following God. Yes, we must understand that by avoiding the decision, we are not avoiding the consequences. I need time, somebody says. I know I'm not following God all the way, but I'm still following him just a little. I haven't totally rejected him. So I feel that I'm still okay with God. Let me show you something When you go to Jeremiah, that's what the people in Jeremiah's day thought. They thought that they would be okay to have it both ways. But I want you to listen. Listen to what he says in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 7. In verse 13, he says, "And now, because ye have done all of these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early." Now, excuse me, back up a little bit in verse number 9. In verse 9, because that's the consequences in verse number 13. In verse number 9, he says, "Will you still murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense unto Baal, walk after other gods whom ye not know, and come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name, and say we are delivered to do all of these abominations? Is this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, saith the Lord. But go ye now unto my place, which was in Shiloh, where I set my name at the first, and see what I did to it for the wickedness of my people, Israel." And verse 13, "And now, because ye have done all of these works, saith the Lord, I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not. I call you, but ye answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I've done to Shiloh." Verse 15, "And I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast all of your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim." They thought it was okay to do what they wanted to do. But God showed them, you either do it my way or no way at all. God is serious. Our actions do not go unnoticed by God. You can sit up in this morning thinking you all holy. God knows. You could have lived any kind of way this week. God knows. God is watching each and every one of us. And whatever we do and whatever we say will never go unnoticed with God. God made it clear from the beginning when he gave Moses the law. He burned those words into stones with his own finger. "You shall not have other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves idols of anything. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I am the Lord your God, and I'm a jealous God." Let's not deceive ourselves, brothers and sisters. Our God is a jealous God. He will not share our affliction with anyone or with anything, affections. He will allow no division. And so we got to understand there are severe consequences for not following God, not yet obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are consequences for not obeying him. God has in his word what you must do to obey him. You heard the word. Believe it to be true. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Believe it to be true. Then you got to repent of your sins. Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Then go out and water grave of baptism for remission of your sins. If you're here today, there are many that are going to be saying, Lord, Lord. But you're going to hear him say, if you hadn't done his will, depart from me. I never knew you. Prepare for the devil and his angels. Church, are you involved in battles that don't matter? Recognize the battles that's worth fighting for. There are some battles that don't matter. There are some battles, if you get entangled with them, that will cause you to not only get upset, but it can cause you to lose your soul. If you're here this morning, look back over your life. Look at your condition right now. It's time to observe you. Where do you stand with God? Don't go around trying to fool folk. God already knows where you stand with him. He's given you an opportunity to make it right. Don't worry about what folk will say. Don't worry about how they look. Don't worry about what they think. You worry about what God is going to say when you stand before him unprepared to meet him. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If you stand in need, come on down as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Don't put it off. Come on down.
Come to Jesus.
Come to him.
He will save.